Let's all stand together if you would. Just bow our heads, we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly so thankful. Yet another opportunity, Father, that we can come and, Lord, to feel your presence here amongst us. Lord, to have an opportunity to check our hearts and our lives under your Spirit. Father, see where we can draw closer to you. Maybe draw strength from, Lord, in the middle of the week here, Lord. It's a terrible world we live in, Father. It's so good to close ourselves in with you. Lord, just draw strength. We love you so much. I ask that you would just bless the service tonight. Each and every one that's gathered here, pray that you would bless them. Lord, meet our individual needs. We love you and we ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Praise his name. Turn with me, if you would, in our capstone books there. Page 47. Heaven's Jubilee. Amen. It's going to be such a wonderful time, saints. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that Jubilee yonder in the sky. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning, amen, shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that Jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints to fly. Amen. Hallelujah. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When with all the heavenly hosts we begin to sing, oh, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be. Oh, praising Christ, amen, amen, worshiping, hallelujah. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Amen. What a day that's going to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Page 87 in our Only Believe books. Roll is called up yonder. Are you going to be ready? Amen. Hallelujah. Roll is called up yonder. I'll be there. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, when the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder.
Amen.
Oh, and the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, and the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Hallelujah. Looking forward to that day. Page 42, old faithful song. I love it so much.
I feel like traveling on.
Amen. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Though pain nor death can enter there, I feel like,
amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes, I feel like traveling.
And the
closer it gets, the more you ought to feel like traveling.
Yes,
amen. Listen for that call more than ever. Hallelujah. Brother Hamilton, would you come up for the offering?
Amen.
Precious Jesus. That's the blessing if you will. Amen. Feeling so much better. Talking about the good old way. Amen. Feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Oh, feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Oh, let's go on. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Amen. You know, that's so true, saints.
Yes.
You talk about anything in this
praise
life,
God.
But then you start a conversation about Jesus.
Oh,
amen. You feel so much better.
Hallelujah.
I may have something on your heart, a request or a need. Hold it on your heart. Brother Philip, could you take the request? You may be seated. Amen. Someone have a song special? Amen, Lord Jesus. All right, you got something, Karen? All right, let's all stand then. Sing little chords, only believe is ask our brother to come.
Yes,
only believe. Only believe.
our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord, we truly count it a great honor and a privilege to be able to gather tonight around your precious word. And Lord, just to come in and have you speak to our hearts and to refresh us.
Yes.
And Lord, just to commune with you as a friend to a friend. And,
yes.
And Lord, to be able to be with saints of like precious faith, Lord, and to draw strength from each other. Yes. Lord, we're just so appreciative for what you've given us in this late hour in which we live. And Lord, we just humbly ask for your blessings upon your precious word. And Lord, that each scripture and each line would become more dear to us as each day goes by. And Lord, give us eye salve that it wouldn't just be hearers of the word, Lord, but we would be truly doers of it. And Lord, that our lives would be a true example of what you would have in these last few moments of time, that we would be to your glory and to your praise, Lord. And we just humbly ask your blessings upon these few words tonight, and just bless our hearts to the hearing. And we'll never fail to see that you receive all of the praise for it all. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Isn't he wonderful?
Yes, he is.
Amen. So thankful for another opportunity to be able to gather around God's word. If you would, while you're still standing, we're going to read some very familiar scriptures tonight, but just want to refresh our hearts. If you would, let's turn over to Romans. We'll start there. In Romans, the 12th chapter. Just meditating upon the Lord, and these things just kind of seem to be striking at me a little more. I was looking at I'd been studying in the message Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, I believe is how he titled it. I might have it reversed. And I was just reading and meditating and kind of was thinking about going a different direction, and this kind of just kind of popped up and some of these scriptures and things. And as I was studying on it for myself, I thought, Lord, it's really fitting, and maybe we'll just refresh all of our hearts with it this evening. But as we read in Romans, the 12th chapter, and beginning at the first verse, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, and according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. As our pastor just got finished up with the series that he's been on, how fitting, if you'll pay attention, how fitting some of these scriptures tie right in with what he was bringing. And I'm not going that direction at all, but just to let God just put a greater picture in our hearts with all of God's precious word. It'll just continue to gel together. But as Paul was speaking there, and in that second verse, he was talking about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And seeing how that precious word has been coming, and that's we come in here, and God is so graciously just the Holy Spirit bringing that word back to our minds. But then that third verse where Paul says, for I say through grace unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And what a great man and a person that could truly speak these words. If you go back and read and you know the story and the scriptures to see where Paul came from in his life, and to realize how great of a man he was among his people at that time. And to see if anybody, as he even said, if anyone has reason to boast, it's me. But to see the humility that after he came face to face with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and was struck down there in the dirt, his whole opinion of himself changed. And how little he tried to show himself to be. And you know, he expressed that in Acts the 20th chapter, I believe. If you want to turn, you can. It's just a short scripture there, but just as he put it into his own words in Acts 20, in the 16th verse, as he says here, and probably Luke was writing here, but he says, for Paul had determined, 16th verse of the 20th chapter said, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, and because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by laying in wait for the Jews, but not puffed up, never in his self, boasting in himself, but always in humility, his life expressed it in many places. And how fitting it is, as we will go through some of these scriptures, let's turn over to 1 Peter in the 5th chapter. We'll just see some of these scriptures as sometimes it's if you just take God's precious word and let it look at it in this sense, how far off we get sometimes in our own opinion of what we can do and what we know and what we've learned, even in this message. We see it throughout all the denominations. Once you reach a certain peer of being in the church so long and have studied so long, and you get to this place where you're the elder in the church because of what you know. And we realize that the age, the scripture speaks of the elders being aged and learned in the word. That's wonderful. But the denominations have taken it to a different level when men lost their humility and they get lifted up in themselves, and it's how big they are and how great they are. And we see it bleed over into the message churches. Oh, you should hear so-and-so. You should see so-and-so. You need this. Oh, you should hear this. The humility leaves out of people's lives, and they forget where they come from and what they were sent for. But I just want to renew our minds back tonight here in Peter, 1 Peter in the 5th chapter, and we'll begin there at the 5th verse. As Peter expressed it, just catch the way they put some of these things together. Peter speaking, he says, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Think about these things. When humility left, look what comes after it. Look where it leads to, and we see the God of this evil age, and see how proud he is and where he's being worshipped. Look how Peter just tied that being humble and then going right into he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. If he can get you to lift it up in yourself and think for 1 minute you don't need Jesus Christ, or you know more than the Holy Spirit knows, or you've been well learned, look how easy it is to get sidetracked. And he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he has suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you, and settle you. But I just want you to notice how each one of these brothers, as they wrote these things about being humble, and how we saw it so expressed in our prophet's life when he came, and seeing how God humbled and used him, and how humble he was. And I want you to think about this. This is in the message. Brother Branham made this comment in the message, Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness. And this is paragraph 43. It's just a little paragraph, but he said, there's little things that we do, and that's what we come to church for. And this was preached in 61. I didn't write down the actual date. And that's what we come to church for, is to find out where our faults is and the things we might better ourselves by. If we come to church for any other objective than this, I'm afraid we won't get too much out of coming to church. We must come to find our weaknesses and find our bad places, and see how little we are, and put our trust in somebody that's strong. But and he goes on to a few other things. But I want you to think about that. We come here to find our weaknesses. We come here to have it pointed out where we need to grow. And that's what's happened to a lot of the message churches. They've reached a spot in their life through getting out of humility and surrendered to God. They don't feel they need anything else from God's precious word. We've heard it stated, we're just waiting on a rapture. And so that's become the normal amongst people. Their attitude is, I don't need anything else. I know all there is to know. I've read all the books. I've heard the scriptures. I know all there is to know. I know the prophet came. And they've lost the hunger and the desire to be in humility under Jesus Christ and to see where they continue to grow and to continue to be more like him and to see what they need. But you know, it's got so, they're so sufficient. Well, we only need to have one service a week. Ain't no sense in having two or three. We only need that one service. We know the word. We got it all. But yet the scripture told us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more so as we see that day approaching. How real the word should become to us in every aspect. And as we see the age in which we're living, how these things should continue to dwell in us. And it's so easy to maybe be able to look around and get a little puffed up in ourselves. Say, well, I can see what they need in the word. And we may be able to look over there and say, I see what that brother needs. And boy, that sister, she sure needs a message on that situation over there. But what about ourselves, as we said here, in humility, preferring one another, praying for one another? Is it saying, Lord, what's my need today? That's the true humility, is coming through those precious doors or gathering around God's word, reading God's word, saying, Lord, what's my portion? Deal with my heart, Lord, and show me what I have need of. Not what everyone else needs, but what I need, Lord. It's me that stands in the need. And how, what a great, as you see Paul's life and being in that great spot of humility, and Peter. And let's turn over here to Colossians, the third chapter. Just put these things in our heart and renew our minds. Amen. Colossians, the third chapter. And let's see. About the 12th verse. Just Paul speaking here, but just catches, we're going to read a little bit of this, but he's speaking, he gets into humility here, but just look at how he puts all this in here. In Colossians 3 in the 12th verse, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of God, word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. And just how they, it just, if you go through the Bible and look at all the scriptures on humbleness and humility, and we ain't got time to read them all tonight. But if you go back and read all of them, and then if you would just, if you have a computer, could just sit down and search the word humility and humble in the prophet's message, and go back and read all that he said. And I'll renew your minds to a few things, but how great it is to even realize that God in humility reveals himself in simplicity. Yes, and showing forth all that he is and all that he's done. And let's go ahead and go to Philippians, as Paul expresses it here. In Philippians, the second chapter. In Philippians, the second chapter, and we'll start here at the first verse. If therefore be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, and if any fellowship of the Spirit, and if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in his fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And think about that, how Paul could look at Jesus and see, looking back and realizing the power that he had in his hands. He could have called 10,000 legions of angels. to take him off of that cross, but in humility. And because of the great love that he had for you and me, and also the love that was burning in his heart, that he knew I must be about my Father's business, and it had to be fulfilled. Yes, and his greatest thing was to be obedient to the precious word that was spoken of him. Amen. And how that ought to, as Paul saw that and was able to relay that through the scriptures and realizing in his own life, seeing where he had raised up from, but then to see God strike him down and to begin to realize how little he was. And how little his life didn't matter, but it was all that God would get the glory and the praise from his entire life, his entire being. So much that he became a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. A love slave. And eventually maybe we'll go, this will kind of bleed over into that a little bit. But I'd like to read a couple quotes here that the prophet left us. And I want you to, just a little quote that was in the third seal, preached March 20th, 1963. And this is just paragraph 89, and he was speaking about Eve and the situation that had happened, but I just wanted to catch what he said here as he was speaking. He said, so Eve got to strolling in the garden, and she ran into the serpent, a very polished up sort of fella. And he began, now he was on the other side, and this is the part I wanted us to catch. God lives, dwells, and works in humility, never any other way. See, that little humble lady walking along there, and Satan come up a wise, slick, polished sort of fella. So think about that. God never works any other way, but he lives and dwells in humility. So just think about these things as we go through life, and we see it so many times. And I see it so much in my job, more as, you know, Brother Branham, and we'll read a quote. Well, we'll read this quote, and then I'll, this is in the Message and End sign. And this was preached January 19th, 62. And he was just talking, Brother Branham was going on. He says, paragraph 126, he says, we are God ensigns to the world. And that's the reason I'm always scolding the Pentecostal church and getting after them and their ways of living. And that's the reason the world can't see Christ, is because we've let down the bars and we get away from that. And how striking, just think about it. If he was here today, he'd be scolding the message churches. Because God's word is never stale. It's always moving forward. There's a beat and a rhythm, and God's always marching forward. And today, look at where the word's going. Where's that same message need to be preached today? Right in our own midst, in our own congregations. Throughout this message is don't let down the bars, but keep up. And he says, when our women dress and act like the rest of the world, when our men go out in dirty jokes and smoke and carry on like the rest of them, married four or five times, everything else, pulls and gets them into church and things like that, the world don't believe you've got it. Let me tell you, brother, when you are dead and your life is hid in Christ through God and sealed by the Holy Ghost, God lifts you up in heavenly places and you'll be an ensign that a work of God has been committed in you. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. What kind of an ensign is it? Some great stuff shirt? No, humility. The fullness of God in Christ Jesus. Notice that. The fullness of God in Christ Jesus made him walk like a humble peasant. Yes, and made him wash the feet of his disciples and didn't have a place to lay his head. Mm-hmm. And how different that is from this society in which we're raised and live in today. Yes. To where it's always about show both, you know, the pride of life, as our pastor was going through some of those things as he was bringing forth his little series there. But just think about it today, and it people can never be satisfied. You know, as long as you've got a roof over your head and you're dry, the scripture tells us to be content. And you know, we see it through this whole American society. It's all about having the bigger house and the better house, and I need a better car and a fancier car. And it's everything to be able to prove that I've got one step above somebody else in this life is what it boils down to. And you know, I talk to many people that live in mansions. So big of houses that you ask them how many bathrooms they have and they don't even know. And it's like, why do you have a house that big? You haven't even been in half of it. But it's pride and it's that lifted up. Look at me. Look what I have. Look what I've accomplished. And you know, it creeps right over into everything we do. You know, I love to fish. I love to hunt. And you take that and there's nothing wrong with it in any sense. Just getting out, being alone by yourself. But look at how this commercial world has taken hunting and fishing to it's about getting the biggest and the best. Yes. It's got to be the biggest antlers. It's got to be the biggest trophy-sized fish. Yes. And we all like to catch nice fish. Brother Branham liked to catch nice fish, and he had a lot of nice trophies. But his motive and objective wasn't to see how big I got. He was enjoying what God had blessed him with. But in this day in which we live, television, I see it all the time. People are paying, they'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars to try to get that next buck with just a few more inches. It's become a drive to them. And they'll tell you, it's a passion. It gets so down in them that they just can't think of nothing else. And it takes them away to the enjoyment's gone out of it. It becomes something. And I'm just using that because that's something I've enjoyed in my life. And there ain't nobody would like to shoot a bigger buck. You know, that if you hunt, that's why you're hunting, to get to get those bigger things. But we as Christians, where is our desire? The prophet plainly showed us where his desire was when he had the trophy animal that could have won the prize and he backed off. And I'm just using that because that's something I enjoy and I can relate to. But let it go into whatever it is in your life that you have. In humility, do I have to show everyone that I'm the biggest, I'm the best, I've got it, I can do this, I can do that? Or is it just, Lord, you've blessed me with this opportunity, I want to do it the best that I can that you've given me? Yes. But where's our motive and our objective in our relationship with, why am I here? Was I sent here for that to be my passion, or is this truly my passion? God knows our hearts. You know, it's a pretty amazing thing when someone would say, I hope the Lord doesn't come till I get to hunt one more time, or I get to go to one more hunting trip. That kind of shows where your love lies. It's not lying in God's precious word. It's not longing and loving for the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm just using that for an example so that we kind of think about it in the realms. Our pastor was showing us who is the God of this evil age. And showing us that there may be things that there's nothing wrong with. But how easy we can get in ourselves and get out from underneath the word of God because we're not fortified with it, and watch where it takes us. But oh, may we truly be a people that is so preferring of another. Making sure that brotherly kindness abounds. And making sure that with all long suffering for those around us. And that people can see Jesus Christ being expressed through our lives. Just something to think about. I didn't mean to get off on that, but it's just something we see more and more, and it's with everything. Everything in life. It's not good enough. We need the next best thing. We need to show it off, but then we want people to know we got it. And it just stands out and shows where our heart lies and shows what's in our underneath, what we really want to be. But here in the message, how can I overcome? Brother Branham was speaking here, and this is preached August 25th, 1963, paragraph 100. He said, Jesus gave us the example how to do it, and we want to know how to overcome. Jesus told us how to do it. See, humility. He girded himself and took a towel and washed the disciples' feet and wiped them. The very God of heaven humiliated himself. But we don't want to be humiliated. That's the reason women don't want their hair to grow out. And that's the reason they don't want to dress like ladies should dress. And like men don't want to see us the same thing. They get humiliated. But Jesus constantly, look who he was, greatness. And I'm going to say something. Greatness humiliates itself. Great humbles itself. Greatness. I've had the privilege of getting to meet some great men. And if these guys have got change of clothes and 50 cents in their pocket and the rattle, that's the guy that thinks he's something when he's nothing. But I've stood by great men. I mean great men with ragged sleeves, cuffs, and they make you think you're the great person, see? Greatness is humility, and don't forget that, church. Greatness is expressed in humility, not how fine you can be. And I don't mean dirty. I mean in a humble in spirit, see? Don't get out and don't ever wash and clean up. That you should do. You know that. But I'm talking about humility, genuine humility, not something put on, but something that's got real humility. And how that should just truly be our everyday walk. It should just be part of us. It shouldn't be something that's God's precious word. It's just one of those little things that lays in there. But have I let it, something in this world blind me to the fact of how humble I can be, but I want people to know I've got two nickels to rub together. You know, it's so striking to me how people will spend all they've got to get something. And I see it all the time in homes where people will buy and try to gain and get to the next level. and they can just barely afford it. It's all they can have. And then you take somebody that's got all the money in the world and they come in and they're living in a 10-cent shack and they ain't got nothing. But they got more money and they know what to do with. And they have a whole lot better attitude than a lot of others. So it is evident. And you can see it. You can experience these things. The more you deal with the public and you're out and about and see things. And I can remember in my own life when I was young how I thought it was great. You know, you're achieving things and, oh, look what I've got over here and look what I've got over there. And boy, did God ever make me come down to humble ground. He knows how to do it. He knows how to shape us in the way he wants us to be shaped. And he knows how to break us and to mold us exactly to get our lives to conform to this precious word. You know, he's the great creator, the great sculptor. There's nothing that he don't see or know. And you know, sometimes it may seem like, you know, you go into the word and it may seem like you come to church and every time you come, it seems like the word's right there chipping on you. You know, be thankful if the word is chipping on you. If you can feel that nudge from the Holy Spirit, Lord, I need to shave that off a little bit more. Lord, that can go away. Be thankful because not everyone feels that. Some people come in and it's like the children of Israel was. What's the burden of the Lord today? What's he got to say to me today? What did I do that he don't like today? No, God knows and he watches over his own. And if you're feeling that little prick, Lord, I need to cut that loose. I need to turn that aside. God knows what you have need out of it. He's dealing with you. Be thankful that he's dealing with you as a son and daughter of Jesus Christ. Amen. And oh, how humble that ought to make you feel to know that he cares. Cast all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Let's see here. Amen. This is in the message, Harvest Time, preached December 12, 1964. And Brother Branham speaking here, he says, paragraph 145, Satan never changes his tactic, and neither does God, just changes ages. Satan got in back there, the first family of God on earth, and here it is, brother, sister, don't fail to get this. How did Satan get the first family? He couldn't break it, no other way but to get that word broke, for they were fortified behind the word. If he could only get one gap, and that's how he got every church in every age, and got every believer, was just to pull that gap out. And I believe the Bible is right, but I don't believe that. And oh, there he'd go, too bad, but there he went. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now closely confine this now, and he finally, this one that would arrived and had to be tempted just exactly like the rest of them was tempted. Notice how striking Satan makes his every attack, just the same each time. He tried to give him natural bread, just like he did Eve. If you will eat this, take this, something another, he's got it. And that's what he does to every organization. That's what he does to every individual. He tries to give you the natural things that you can look at, and it's taking you away. Well, look at this great big church. Why, they got so many millions in it. Our church is the biggest church in the city. We have the mayor comes to our church. See all of that? Our pastor has a degree of all of these DDD and LD and PhD that well. He is bound to be a smart man. A Catholic priest can come around and cover him over any time with his degrees. He's got 60-some-odd books he has to know as bad as much as you know the Bible to get his degree to be a priest. So don't try to compare educations. And that's just like the world is always trying to compare. Don't compare with the things of the world. Don't compare with churches. Compare with the Bible.
Yes.
And that's one thing that's striking to me. So many times people will tell you what's wrong in that other church. They'll compare, our church isn't like that church because they do this. But I like what he's saying here. Don't compare yourself with that other church. You compare yourself and myself with the Bible. And God will take care of the rest. That's different. Our pastor and every minister has a right. Don't think I'm trying to say our pastor shouldn't be pointing things out. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying as individuals, don't compare ourselves with another church and think we're a little better because... And don't get the attitude, they need to hear, I could tell them a few things. No, stay humble before God and just keep comparing your life with the Bible and let God take care of the rest. It'll work out exactly the way he wants it to be.
Yes,
he says, don't compare with churches, compare with the Bible. That's what we're doing today. That's what's the matter with us Pentecostal churches. That's what's the matter with some of our quartets and sings and so forth we have. We're trying to act like Hollywood. And Hollywood glitters, the gospel glows. There's a lot of difference between a glitter and a glow, see?
Yes.
Hollywood glitters with clothes and Rickies and Rickettas and Rickiettes, but God humbly glows in the humility of the believer. No matter how ignorant he is, he glows in humility and not shines in Hollywood. Notice he tried his old tactic on Jesus, the same thing he did to Moses, the same thing he did to the rest of them. He tried it, and he'll try it on you to get you to accept some great big something that looks shiny. Reminds me when I had to hunt raccoons, and get me my daddy and tobacco. And I don't know whether you all ever know one of them old tags that used to be on a twist of tobacco. I would take them and get me a log, bore a hole in it right around the creek where a coon had been running. And I'd bore a hole in there and stick that tobacco tag in there and then drive me some nails and angle it like this. And the coon is always reaching for something shiny. And when that moon came up, he'd run along there and he'd look back there and he'd push his hand in there and get it and he wouldn't turn it loose. He is like some church members, even knows he is caught, but he won't turn it loose. If I do, they'll put me out of the organization. That's just his death, that's all. Notice, there he is. He holds on to it and he won't turn it loose. And think about that and some of the things maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to show us. And we see these shiny objects that's laying around us. Don't grab onto it. And help us to be humble enough to admit when we're wrong and say, Lord, let me let go of that thing as fast as I can and turn and get that cleaned up in my life that it's not there. Yeah. How that's the should be the desire of our heart, not to see how much I know, but how much don't I know. Lord, show me the things that I need to see. Yes, I may have read that scripture 10 times, Lord, but do I understand what I've read? Think of the eunuch that was coming down the road reading that day in Philip. And he asked him if he could help him. And Philip began to teach him out of the scriptures. And he said, there's the water. What needs me to be from being baptized? Yes. Oh, my. If we could just let God open up our eyes and ask God in humility, Lord, give me eye salve to break down the bars of don't let me get built up in this thing. Well, I sat under so-and-so. You know where we came from? I once heard a man say that man was a master teacher. But yet he was teaching things contrary to God's word. And he went off on things that he should never have got off on. And I heard another man say one time, I didn't know how to preach till I went and sat under another certain brother and learned to preach. God calls the men. God gives gifts unto the church. And in humility, let God appoint what's needed in our lives. And don't ever get to that place, well, I heard so-and-so say it this way, so that must be the way it is. But in humility, asking God to grant us the revelation that will strike our hearts, that not only can we repeat it and say it, but it'll make us be the doers of God's precious word that we should be in all things, yes. In all humility, in all humble conversation. Yes. Every word becomes manifest and magnified to us, yes. As we hear that word. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This was in God hiding himself in simplicity, paragraph 171. He says, now notice he was going to speak about Moses just a moment. He said, God had trained him in worldly wisdom so that he could fail and show that it isn't wisdom that we'll ever be delivered by. It's by faith that we are delivered. He let him go in and get such an education until he could teach the Egyptians wisdom. And he was so smart, God was with the simple family who could perhaps maybe not write their name. And Moses was took into the highest of schooling with such a great education till he could teach the wisdom to the teachers. He could teach the genius. And yes, God let him get that way so he could display himself in humility to show that wisdom has nothing to do with it. And Moses miserably failed in his genius. He let him get that way for his purpose so that he would fail. And he did fail, and he fell. So to show, not by power and not by might, and not by the wisdom of Egypt, and not by the wisdom of our schools, nor by the power of our seminaries, but not by the amounts of our organization, not by the power of our scholarly teaching, but by my spirit, saith God. His wisdom was vanished, and at its end, when he met God in the burning bush there, he took off his shoes and humbled himself to humility and forgot all about his wisdom. Amen. And how true that is. When you see how big God is, and you truly see him, and recognize what he has done for you, all what humility it'll bring into your life. How humble you will realize I am nothing without him. And oh, it just makes such a love affair that much greater in your life. Oh, I'm so thankful to be able to see where he's brought me from and to realize that without him, I'm not much at all. But I thank God by his mercy and grace, he's called me for a purpose in these last few moments of time that I might be a light for him. And if nothing else, that my light would shine forth to others, that they could see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
By what I can speak, no, I like what Brother Smith says, that one gentleman said, preach always and just use words when necessary. May that truly become the meaningfulness of our life, is Lord, let my light so shine before men that they'll see your good works, my works, and glorify my Father which is in heaven. Oh, may it truly be to his glory and honor. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Pray something was said to strengthen you, to encourage you. Maybe something you can grab a hold of, just a little bit greater. Just so thankful that may we truly always see how small we can be in lifting each other up. And make sure that we prefer one another and love one another with all of our hearts. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus, I Never Knew Love till I Met Jesus. We ain't sang that in a long time. I never knew love till I met Jesus. I never knew love till I met him. I never
about when I really met him, you know, a long time ago. But I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful that he showed himself to me and revealed his word to me. I'm so thankful for his love and mercy and his grace. And I'm sure you are too. When you see Christ has come into your life, you should be so thankful and so happy. There should be a joy unspeakable and full of glory, you know. So I'm thankful for that word tonight, because we all should, every one of us, be a humble people. Because without Jesus, we are nothing. You know, there's no way that if it wasn't for his grace and mercy, look where we would be tonight. Out there in the world doing something, getting probably things we shouldn't be in. Maybe smoking, cursing, drinking, and carousing around. It's hard to tell where we would be if it wouldn't be for Christ. I'm so thankful for what he's done for us, and may we always remain humble in great humility before him. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this precious opportunity you gave us this evening. Lord, we could be here and to worship you and to listen to your word and just be able to let the word of God search our hearts. We're so appreciative of that. And honestly, Lord, I don't know of anywhere else I'd rather be than have been here tonight, Lord, sitting under the word of God. There's nothing out in the world that attracted my attention. There's nothing, any jobs, Lord, that attracted my attention. There was no other visiting places to attract my attention. So, Lord, we are so thankful you placed that in our hearts. Give us the love and the desire to want to serve you, to be obedient to your word of God and be here, Lord, to listen to the word of God and to see it applied in our life. And if we find ourselves short in anything, again, thankful for the desire you put in our hearts, Lord, to climb higher and to press on now. So we ask that you would bless us and let these words tonight now, Lord, sink deep into our hearts. And Maybe the Lord would write it upon our hearts, and may it be true and honest in our lives. When people see it with a reality. We thank you for all these things now. Just asking once more that you would go with us and protect us, Lord. Keep us safe on the highways as we travel our journeys home. And Lord, again, we're just waiting in expectation that if you should tarry for Sunday, Lord, you would feed us again the Word of God again. And Lord, cause us to grow in Christ. We ask it all to your glory and your honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.